Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Coming up this hour, we're going to be talking to some educators here, superintendents from Pottawatomie County Schools, Wamego and Rock Creek. We'll also be getting an update on Stuff the Bus at around 9:30 this morning, and then we'll spend a segment talking about the upcoming USD 3-3 primary election as well. We start things off, though, with our superintendents over in Pottawatomie County Schools. Of course, Kevin Logan is the superintendent at USD 323 Rock Creek. Pleasure to talk to you again, Mr. Logan.
Good morning, Brandon. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. And we introduced Greg Mann to the K-Man Airwaves. He is the interim superintendent over at USD 320 Wamego. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, Greg, if you don't mind, I might just start with you real quick and just give listeners a little bit of background, where, how long you've been on the job and where you came from.
Well, I started here on June the 14th, so I guess this must be like week four. And of course, at this point in time, it's still like you're trying to get a drink out of a fire hose. You know, there's just so much stuff coming at you, and you're trying to get things sorted out, but it's been a positive experience thus far. I am retired. I retired as an acting superintendent in the spring of 2018. I did do an interim superintendency in Stockton in Western Kansas in the 2018-19 school year. And then I was asked to come out of retirement to be an interim superintendent this year. This is my 24th year as a superintendent in the state of Kansas and my 45th year as an educator in the state of Kansas. Most of my experience was jobs have been out in Western Kansas, west of Hays, Kansas.
All right. What's your impression of Wamego?
Wamego is a wonderful community. I would characterize it as being a very tidy community. You know, things are very nice and people take care of their yards. And like I say, thus far, it's just been a very positive experience. People have been very pleasant, very friendly, very helpful. I could see why people would want to live in Wamego.
Yeah, certainly. I would agree with you on the tidy comment there, especially after Boomtown. They were out there cleaning up the next day and had a lot of volunteers out there. So
we had about 150 school kids show up to help with that. And they had that thing cleaned up, I understand, in an hour, two and a half hours. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, certainly. Well, we welcome you here, and we look forward to chatting with you in the coming months here on In Focus. I might talk with Kevin here a little bit as well. Kevin, we're getting kind of closer to the new school year coming on. What's going on in your district at this point?
Well, in the district itself, a lot of camps going on yet. I think middle school football camp is running this week. With the new baseball facility, we have teams in and out of here 2 to 3 days a week. I believe they have something going on this upcoming Wednesday, and then there's mid tournaments Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. So a lot of activity on the campus. But I know a lot of our parents are interested in our opening school plans and what it will look like compared to last year. And right now we're looking like we'll be much closer to 2019 than what we were 2020 to start regarding COVID. We will still, you know, emphasize hand washing, emphasize hand sanitation. Masking will be optional, and as long as our COVID numbers and the health department says that they're comfortable with us staying that route, we will keep the mask as being optional. So that will be a definite change for us. We'll have some new faces, obviously, as teachers leave and retire and new staff are hired. So there are some new faces around. And, you know, we're just looking forward to welcoming everybody back into a more comfortable, better suited learning environment than what we had to deal with last fall.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to see how things transpire over the next month and a half and getting back into the fall. What's Greg over in Wamego? Is there plans right now for how things will look?
Yeah, we're very close to what Kevin and Rock Creek are looking at. We're hoping to be able to start the school year in a more normal situation. Of course, we're really keeping our attention focused on the Delta variant and how that's starting to play out. And then that could really upend some plans. But right now, at this point in time, knock on wood, we're looking to be able to start just like Kevin, you know, emphasize the hand washing. emphasize the social distancing where we can. Masking optional, but again, we're going to pay very close attention to our county health people. And also, like Kevin, we got a lot of things going on. And, you know, school districts don't ever shut down in the summer anymore. You know, buildings are used all year, every day. And we have a very robust summer school schedule going on this summer, K-12. And that's underway right now in all of our buildings. So we're trying to help some kids maybe overcome some deficits that occurred during the virtual experience and the hybrid experience.
All right. Well, that's good to hear. And summer school is not what it used to be. I remember when I was growing up, it always seemed like a punishment to go to summer school. Nowadays, it just seems like, it's helpful for anybody.
Well, it's especially given the situation we've been in for the last 18 months. There's no doubt we have some achievement deficits. And so summer school, I think, for the foreseeable future, is going to be a very, very valuable tool to get kids caught up and back up to speed.
Yeah.
I don't see summer school going away anytime real soon.
No, I would agree with you, Greg. I don't see summer school going away. I know a year ago we did kind of a kickstart to our school year with a summer school, with not being able to offer the typical summer. And then this summer was very much expanded over what we've done previous years. So it's not moving to year-round school, but it's definitely moving more to a year-round opportunity for sure.
Exactly. Opportunity, that's the key word. Yep.
Well, with the upcoming school year, and I know enrollment will probably be happening here very shortly, specifically with any parents who had kids in kindergarten last year during the COVID year, whatever you want to call it, what helpful tips would you give them as they get ready to start first grade? Because I know that's maybe going to be a little more challenging than we've ever seen in the past. And whoever wants to answer, I don't care.
Well, that's a real good question. And, you know, we were just visiting about this situation here just the other day. I mean, because of the social distancing, our kindergartners and first graders didn't go to the cafeteria. So, you know, you always have that first week of the school year situation where you're teaching kindergartners how to use trays and pick up their silverware and open their milk cartons. And now we're going to be doing that with kindergartners and next year's first graders, and I guess probably maybe even some of the next year's second graders, because they missed out on those kinds of socialization, routine learning kinds of things. So I would tell parents at this point with their kids coming into school that to tell their kids to look forward to school just like they always have. Of course, kindergartners don't know any different. You know, it's going to be the first graders who notice some things that are different because they didn't get to go to the cafeteria last year. This year, they'll be going to the cafeteria. So probably the biggest experience change will be, in my opinion, would be the kindergartners last year who are going to be first graders this year, because it's going to be a completely different environment and situation than what they were used to last year.
Yeah.
Brennan, we won't have quite that much of a change because we did use our cafeteria with all of our students. Big piece will be that we will have more transitions with our younger elementary than what we had, because we did attempt a cohort much more last year. So there'll be more interactivity between classes and movement about the building than what there has been. Outside guests will be something that we can bring back into the building this year that we did not have last year, because again, we really limited the number of people in and out of the buildings. But I think really it's going to be all ages are going to have a piece of acceptance that we're all going to have to work with, and that is of the mask and understanding, appreciating different points of view on those that feel comfortable not wearing a mask, those that really want to have that mask on yet, and just being understanding of other people's viewpoints in that regard, I think is going to be a huge piece. Instructionally, as I've said multiple times on here, we're a cooperative learning district, and we really want our kids interacting with one another. We ask for them to be in closer proximity to one another in doing some of our cooperative learning structures. So that is going to be new for our lower kids who, you know, as coming into second grade, missed out on a year of that from kindergarten. This year's first graders and incoming kindergartners, you know, are now going to be experiencing that again for the first time. You know, there's a lot of high-fiving that's done around the classroom or fist bumping, and a lot of what we consider 6-inch voices. so that students are talking quietly enough to where their partners hear them, but no, it's not a disruption to the classroom. So there are some proximity issues that will need to be overcome.
All right. We have a caller with a question or a comment, so I'll go to them next. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Well, good morning. I would consider your two guests today as experts.
Paul, we're having trouble hearing your phone.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
All right, I'm talking into it. I don't know how to use these new phones. I consider the education system and the school boards and such in our state as probably the most important public entity. And I want to ask these gentlemen a question. They both sound to me like they're battle-tested and have been around quite a while. And they're having them come out of retirement. What is the situation that we can't hire teachers and keep them in the business and keep superintendents in the positions they're in? And we're always begging one to come here to go there. There has to be a reason. We're taking care of the most important part of our country, our children. And we have to have good people doing it. We have to have some way to recruit them. Is it money? Is it stress? But that's my question. I'm baffled, and I'm sure that these two can answer it or can think about it, and we need to get someplace to the top, someplace, and get it corrected. And I want to thank you both for what you're doing, because you're doing probably one of the most important jobs in the country. Even ahead of law enforcement. If we don't educate them and get them calmed down and educated like law enforcement, we're not going to get anywhere. I'll be quiet. Go ahead, and I'll give you a chance to talk now.
Well, first of all, I appreciate the vote of confidence. That does mean a lot. I guess my response would be all the above. All the different factors that the gentleman mentioned. It's a money issue. It's a respect issue. It's an expectation issue. I believe our teachers today are expected to do so much more than they were when I first came into education in the mid-70s. And that was a time of great change, too. But the things that our teachers are expected to do, the kinds of programs we're expected to implement, the responsibilities that we have assumed, and then, quite honestly, pay has not kept pace with the job duties and the job responsibilities. Teachers are often a very easy target in the community. You know, if communities are unhappy with something that's going on, and so many times teachers have very little control over those kinds of things. I mean, a program is brought out and districts are expected to adopt it. And I'm thinking back to several years ago, there was the big brouhaha over Common Core mathematics. You know, schools that started to teach the Common Core mathematics after it was adopted by the state Board of Education. I mean, that was out of their hands. That wasn't anything that they did, but they were expected to implement and teach. So they become very, I guess what I'm saying is that I think many times our educators become very easy targets for things that are people are unhappy about within the community, you know, and schools do reflect the community. So, yeah, I think all the above, all those are issues that need to be addressed.
I would echo exactly what Greg said. It is, I think more than anything, just a respect and understanding issue. And then pay obviously is one of those things. And through the early 2010s to 2015, when the amount of funding the schools were receiving was going down considerably, and then stagnant during years 15, 16, 16, 17 with the block grants, fell even further behind, and education wasn't, college students weren't going into education programs. So now we are facing an education shortage, and there are truly not candidates out there. We've had some leave the profession for better pay, but we just don't have the new teacher candidates to fill those holes that are being left.
Yeah, and I'd like to jump on that too, Kevin. I mean, you know, we were seeing some significant teacher shortages in beginning around, well, in the mid 2000s, 2008, 2009, going forward there. And I believe and I don't have the numbers to verify this. This is just anecdotal on my part, but I believe that the COVID probably prompted a lot of teachers who are retirement age to go ahead and retire. And we had a very thin talent pool, replacement pool that evaporated very quickly when we had a lot of people retire. And we just don't, we've basically soaked up the available staff that's, or the available talent, certified talent that's there. Wamego's a great location. We're close to the Kansas State University. We're close to Topeka. We're close to Emporia. Same with Kevin. And we are struggling to get applications for our vacancies. So, you know, yeah. If you think in terms of a Wamego or a Rock Creek, who literally within stone throw of four universities, if you count KU, and we can't get candidates, what are people west of Hayes doing?
Yeah.
And I can tell you what people west of Hayes are doing. They're struggling big time. They've been struggling for a long time. It's on top of us, and it's going to take several years to get the people back in the pipeline. And that's the only thing that's going to get people, young people back in the pipeline, is better pay.
I got to take a break here real quick, but we'll come back and we'll continue our conversation with our with our 320 and 323 superintendents here on InFocus KMAN.